It's our family service. So all the children are in. We're going to have a lot of fun this morning, and we're just going to enjoy Jesus. So this week we're starting with new beginnings, and we've got a video that we're just going to kick this off with.
God's story, Easter. So part of God's story is about Easter, and it begins like this. You might know Easter as the Sunday a ginormous bunny hides chocolate inside plastic eggs. But Easter is really all about how much Jesus loves us and how God sent him to rescue us. Remember how the Jews, God's special family, were waiting for a king to come rescue them? Well, Jesus was the king, and this rescue was the whole reason he came to earth. God had already rescued the Jews once before, but this time it was going to include everyone. So one night, Jesus told his friends about the rescue. Exciting, right? But talking about this rescue was sad. That's because Jesus was going to rescue the world by dying. Kids, every mean or bad thing we do deserves punishment. By dying, Jesus took our punishment. Lots of things in life have good parts and bad parts. And just like candy bars are mostly good, as long as you brush your teeth after you eat one, this story is a really good one. Anyway, talking about the rescue made Jesus sad, since he didn't really want to die. Thankfully, we can talk to God when we're sad, so Jesus took a few friends into a garden to pray. In the garden, a guy named Judas, who people thought was Jesus' friend, came with some people to help arrest Jesus. Peter, one of Jesus' true friends, was so mad he cut off a servant's ear with his sword. But Jesus didn't want his friends to hurt others, so Jesus healed the ear and let them arrest him. Then Jesus was taken to trial. One of the most powerful men in the city, Pontius Pilate, wanted to let Jesus go. But many of the people wanted Jesus to die. They didn't believe he was the Son of God or any kind of king. Even after all the miracles Jesus did, like healing sick people and making blind people see, they didn't believe in him. The people were so mad, they started yelling, "Kill him!" So Pontius Pilate let the soldiers take Jesus. The soldiers made fun of the idea that Jesus was a king. They put a crown of thorns on his head and nailed him to a cross. Many people watched, but not all of them wanted Jesus to die. His mother and close friends were there too. Just imagine how they must have felt. Once Jesus was up on the cross, the sun stopped shining for 3 whole hours in the middle of the day. But those soldiers kept right on making fun of him. They said, "If you're really God's son, why don't you just call on some angels to save you?" Jesus could have called on angels to save him, but he loved us so much that he wanted to rescue us. So instead, he prayed to God, "Father, I place my life into your hands." At that moment, Jesus died. When he died, the soldiers who had just killed him realized he really was the Son of God. Later, Jesus was put into a tomb and a big rock blocked the entrance. Jesus' friends thought that was the end. But 3 days later, God sent an angel to roll the stone away. Don't worry, Jesus could get out on his own. The angel moved the rock so everybody else could see the tomb was empty. Jesus' friends were the first to stop by the tomb. The angel said, "He has risen," which is another way of saying Jesus is alive. Nobody could believe it. Jesus took our punishment and then proved he really is the Son of God by coming back to life. Now, if we choose to follow Jesus, God forgives us for all the wrong things we do because Jesus already took our punishment. And that's the story of Easter. But that's not all there is. Here's a quick version of what happened after the angel told the good news. Jesus' friends got scared. Jesus appeared to them. They saw his scars. It was really him. Now they could share the good news too. Jesus appeared to more than 500 people. He went back up to heaven. And the best part? He promised to come back someday for everybody who follows him. And all that is a part of God's story.
All right. Well, we need the cross front and stage this morning. You know, as we're looking at Easter, the empty cross. What a wonderful beginning. What a wonderful start. And you know, as we were getting ready for Easter and thinking about all the things that God was doing, I was reminded of a story in Matthew 22. There was a king who was going to get a wedding feast together, and he said to all his servants, go out, take the invites, but the people that he invited didn't want to come. And I don't know about you, but maybe you're here because someone invited you and dragged you along, or maybe you're here because you thought, oh, it'd be great to go to church. You heard that invite this morning, mum and dad got you up out of bed, or maybe you got mum and dad out of bed. Because I'm aware in our church that sometimes it's the kids that get the adults out of bed. He says in Matthew, the wedding feast is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So we have got a party to go to. This morning is party time. You know, Easter's not sad. Easter's about joy. It's about what Jesus did for us. So, we've got some party invites. Who knows, if you come into a party, you need an invite. So, have a look under your chair and see if you can find the party invite. Somewhere, some special people have got... Oh, here's one. Oh, there's one. Okay, if you find one, bring it up front. And if you want to, you can give it to one of the children and they can bring it up the front. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Hooray! Okay, so let's line up across the stage, all the way across. Because, of course, every invite tells you what you're doing. Doesn't it? So let's hold them up so everybody can see. Ayukarama say. I don't think that's right, do you? Oh, I don't know. Does anyone have got some ideas of what this could say? There's four words. So what should we do? Oh, I think James, you're maybe not quite the oldest, but you're the biggest, so you go to the front. I think we need another lad over here. I think you go and stand next to James. He's over there. So if you go and stand over there. I'm not sure I can spell this one right. Anyone got any ideas of what it might say yet? Who's good at anagrams? A-U's rum. No, that doesn't make sense either. Come as. Oh, as. If you come over here. You. Oh, this, I don't think they spelt it quite right. I think the O needs to move back. Come as Rua. Come as you are. Hey! Oh, that's a good invite. I like that kind of invite. You see, that's what church is about, isn't it? Church is about come as you are. It's not about the fancy clothes. It's not about wearing suits and special hats in church, is it? It's about coming to Jesus as you are. So I think that's pretty good. So, but what happens when you come?
Okay, so thank you.
You guys can go and sit down now. Thank you.
So the invitation is to come as we are, but how are we when we come to the Lord? Okay, so I need some volunteers. Quick, 5, 6 people just run up. Children. Oh, you can come as well. Do you think this will fit you? Shall we try? Oh, does that feel heavy?
Yes.
Does that feel very heavy?
Yes.
Uncomfortable?
Yes.
Okay, that's good.
How's that good?
All right, so turn around. Okay, so this is a burden, isn't it? You're carrying something really heavy. That's a burden. So what are the kind of burdens? What are the sins? What are the things in our lives that hurt us, that are uncomfortable, that we do? So can you tell me something? When you're naughty, what's one of the things you do? What that's bad?
Yeah, hit my brother or sister.
Oh, okay, so hit.
Lie.
Oh, yeah.
Being mean to your mom or something.
Being mean to your mum. I don't like that one.
Mean?
Mean to your mum. Okay. You would never do that, would you? What would you do though?
Fight with my sisters.
Fight with your sisters. Fight. Okay.
What about a sickness or an illness?
Oh, do you ever get sick?
Sometimes.
You do? Like what?
Like when I don't wash my hands, the hands get all dirty and the germs bite me.
Oh. Germs.
Infection. Let's do that.
All right, who wants to go?
When I get an asthma attack.
That's definitely not good, is it? An asthma attack.
Asthma.
Afraid of spiders.
But what else?
Not afraid of spiders.
What else? Oh, fear. Let's do fear.
Oh.
What else could you do?
She said she wasn't afraid of spiders, though.
I know, but some children are. Some adults are.
I think we better find out from some of the adults.
Should we go and find some adults? Steal. What about you adults? What do you do that you shouldn't do? Be careful, this is you certificate today.
I used to be in unforgiveness.
Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Ooh.
Oh, hold on a minute. They don't keep their word.
They break their word.
We won't say which parent.
Being cross.
Mum and dad losing their temper. Oh dear.
Not keeping.
It wouldn't be caused by the kids ever, would it? Who can we have?
Oh, these children are perfect up here, apparently.
Yeah, we are.
Are you?
Jealous.
Oh, we got jealousy here. Jealousy.
Gossip.
No. You didn't tell tales on someone, did you?
Can't keep up. There's so many sins.
Oh, no.
Gossip. Pride. Oh, my word. This is really... I think we've got enough things.
I think
we've got enough. Okay. Do you guys want to sit down? Do you want to sit down there? No, I need you to stay there.
You're stuck.
You've got a very
sins.
Important job here. Okay, look at all these sins. Look at all these burdens of sickness that you're carrying. But something special happened when Jesus died on the cross, didn't
That's
it?
That's right. Do you know what it says? It says in Colossians 2, it says you were dead. Oh my goodness, are you dead? You sure?
Yeah.
You were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. But then God made you alive in Christ, for he forgave all your sins, and he cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. This is what God did. He went. He made sure it was well nailed. That won't move.
But what does it say?
Well, I nailed it, so how can I tell you?
You're supposed to unroll it. Unroll it. Tell us what it says.
It says, all charges cancelled.
So, all charges was cancelled. So everything here, every sin, when we come to the cross, becomes null and void. When we come in repentance, so if you come to the cross and you take the coat off and just drop it on the ground.
Hooray!
Wait, haven't finished. Because you've got red on already. Yeah. But what happens is, come here, God robes you with a robe of righteousness. And he says that you are holy and precious and you're covered in his blood. And then you can come this side free.
Yay! That looks good. Well, not quite as good as your dress, but it looks good.
So all this sin stays here at the cross. Or does it? Because what happens, see, God wants us to go forward completely free. But what happens is we try and bring some of the old life into the new life. Mm. And God wants us to leave all the old life here at the cross. So he doesn't want us depressed. He doesn't want us afraid. He doesn't want us sick. He doesn't want us lying. He doesn't want us stealing. He doesn't want us doing all the things that he doesn't like. Because that's all part of the old life. And so many of us are still dragging the old life with us. And we need to come back to the cross. And we need to say, Lord, I repent of carrying these things because all the charges were cancelled. And I leave it here because only then can you walk completely free. Shall we do some twirling?
Yay!
Because nothing holds you back.
That's right. In fact, actually, he goes even further and he says something really amazing in 2 Corinthians 5, 17. He says, if anyone, who's anyone? Are you in anyone? You sure? Are you in anyone?
Yes.
You can't be. No. Surely. Anyone means?
Everyone.
It's really obvious, isn't it? Sometimes I think we kind of, you know, we think, no, I was too bad. I'm the one person that God doesn't want to know. You don't know what I got involved in. You don't know what I was like. You just, it's not that easy. God wouldn't let me off that easy. Well, it wasn't easy. It took Jesus to die on the cross. That cross, it wasn't just a piece of paper that was nailed to the cross. Jesus was nailed to the cross. But there was something amazing happened. That invitation that God gave us at the start was to come as we are. Exactly as we are, everything that we are, and recognize something amazing happened. When Jesus died on the cross, we died too. That's the message of the gospel. That's the incredible power of the gospel, that something brand new happened. When I gave my life to Jesus, when that scroll got kicked away, something brand new started, and a robe of righteousness, a perfect robe, beautiful, full of colors, not blackened, sin and heavy, but something light, vital, vibrant, colorful, touched our lives, and it's made our nature, our very heart different. And in fact, actually, it says in Isaiah 61, it says that he clothed me with garments of righteousness. Does look rather nice. It's not quite my size, but it does look nice, doesn't it? But the robes that Jesus gave us are even better. He gave us love. It became part of our nature. He gave us peace. It became part of who we are. He gave us joy. It became a part of who we are. We begin to bring something else out. I think that's amazing, don't you? So as we look at that, you know, I was looking at my notes, trying to stick on cue. But Jesus actually wants something important to happen. We got some chords here. I need 5 people to come. I need 5 volunteers. Adults are allowed to, yes? So if you can get 5 people there, and I need 5 people over here. Okay. Right, we only got 5. Okay, so there's 1 in the middle. There you go. Okay, you see, I want you to plait this. Do you know how to plait it? I don't mean twist it. I mean plait it so it goes in and out. All right. Okay, so what you do, this one, you have to bring it right there over the top of this person and right there over the top of the person who's got the red. That's it. Okay. Now you have to come over to here.
Get under it.
Okay. Now you have to go over to the far side, all the way over the top. And you've got to do the same. And then you've got to come all the way over the top. Oh, it's slowly getting there. And then you need to go under.
Under.
Go under. And then you can go under. Yeah. And then over him. And you can go over, over. Now, you go over and under. Over.
No.
Oh, well, whatever.
Someone needs to go over the red. Lift the red down.
Right. You go over. And then under. And then you go
over
and under. And over.
And then
you go, you go. It's kidding there.
It looks like a hair salon lesson.
It does look like a hair salon. Anyone who's a dad knows what it's like. My daughter had hair all the way down to her back. And plaiting hair is hard work. Just keep going. You see, what this shows us when you got this plait, there's something red right at the middle of this plait. And you know the thing about a cord that's been plaited together like this, it gains incredible strength. The scripture actually says in Ecclesiastes 4, it says, one can be overpowered. One might come detached. But if you rejoin it to Christ, so the red strand represents Jesus being at the middle of our lives and the middle of all of our relationships. And if you want to see real strength in your life and in your relationships, you need Jesus to be the central strand that brings and binds all your relationships together. You see, when we talk about new beginnings, we're not just talking about being all right with God ourselves, but then beginning to affect everyone around us with that life of Christ that's in us. That's what this is representing. So, but you know what? As you are platting those, you know, there's one thing we need to speak. Is we need to do what Jesus said. Speak love. Speak joy. Speak peace to our relationships. This looking good. It may be not quite perfect. And if it was Bex's hair, that definitely would then reject by Claire. She had very high standards, and Bex had even higher standards. Bex always wanted to look perfect. My daughter might be a bit more grown up now, but I still see her plaiting her hair. She does better jobs than us. But God wants us to know this new beginning is going to change and affect every relationship we have. It's not just the same old life, just a fresh start. But this life of Christ is to be with Christ at the center of our lives, helping us in all of our relationships, in all that we do in our life. You see, that's what baptism is about. Baptism marked the cross, the event. But this morning we're going to do something a little bit unusual on an Easter Sunday. We're actually going to take communion together. You see, God invites you to a feast. It's a wedding feast. It's a wedding feast that you've been invited to join with Jesus and receive all that God's got for you. You see, just as baptism was your advanced funeral service, communion is your advanced wedding feast. This is God's plan, is that every one of us know the fullness of life with Christ now. But that fullness we're going to see in even greater measure when we reach eternity. But just as that central strand is the one thing that all the rest is built on, so Jesus wants to be the central strand of our life that everything's built on. And as we see God's plan this morning, I just want to ask a simple question. Is Jesus the center of your life? Is he actually the one that you're built around and everything else is working around? Or is he someone that you've heard about? Is he someone that you've liked the teaching? The story's good. You've maybe even been to church, but you've never actually gone, Jesus, I want a relationship with you. Because that's today's challenge. You know, we've got the impossible task now of unraveling. Thank you for coming and helping us. I think this is looking pretty good, don't you? Look how much they managed to do. Yeah, this is our life. Every person we touch being affected, not just by us, but by Christ in us. The life of Christ in us, the hope of glory. God wants to do miracles through us and in us. What I love about this is that we are part of that story, that we're interwoven by God into people's lives and people into our lives.